In an author's note, Patrick O'Brien writes, "Perhaps few authors are wholly original as far as their plots are concerned. Indeed, Shakespeare seems to have invented almost nothing, while Chaucer borrowed from both the living and the dead. And to come down to a somewhat different plane, the present writer is even more derivative, since for these books he has in general kept most doggedly to recorded actions, nourishing his fancy with logbooks, dispatches, letters, memoirs, and contemporary reports. But general appropriation is not quite the same thing as downright plagiary, and in passing it must be confessed that the description of a storm's first aspect on page 308 is taken straight from William Hickey, whose words did not seem capable of improvement. If these tales are to continue, however, it is clear that the writer will soon have originality thrust upon him, for he is running short of history. Some 10 or 11 years ago, a respectable American publisher suggested that he should write a book about the Royal Navy of Nelson's time. He was happy to agree, since both the period and the subject were congenial, and he quickly produced the first of this series, a novel based upon Lord Cochrane's early days in command of the Speedy, which provided him with one of the most spectacular single-ship actions of the war, as well as a mass of authentic detail. But had the writer known how much pleasure he was to take in this kind of writing, and how many books were to follow the first, he would certainly have started the sequence much earlier. For the 14-gun Speedy did not capture the 32-gun Gamo until 1801, and this was followed by the ill-judged Peace of Amiens, which left enterprising sailors less time to distinguish themselves than they could have wished, and deprived later writers of a great deal of raw material. Historical time has not yet run out for these tales, and in the present book, the naval historian will detect an echo of HMS Phoebe's pursuit of the USN Essex. But even in the early 19th century, the year contained only 12 months, and it is possible that in the near future, the author, if his readers will bear with him, may be led to make use of hypothetical years, rather like those hypothetical moons used in the calculation of Easter, an 1812 A, as it were, or even an 1812 B. Yet, if he should do so, it will be strict chronology alone that is affected. He will continue to respect historical accuracy and speak of the Royal Navy as it was, making use of contemporary documents. The reader will meet no basilisks that destroy with their eyes, no Hottentots without religion, polity, or articulate language, no Chinese perfectly polite and completely skilled in all sciences, no wholly virtuous, ever-victorious, or necessarily immortal heroes. And should any crocodiles appear, he undertakes that they shall devour their prey without tears.